If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 19 as we continue in the life of King David. The story so far is that Absalom, the third son of King David, had rebelled against his father and stirred up a revolt against him. David fled from Jerusalem, but was able to gather some loyal forces to himself. And then there was a battle that ensued between the forces of David and the army of Absalom. And 20,000 soldiers died, including Absalom himself. And so David mourned for Absalom. But then it was time to return to Jerusalem and to restore to himself the kingdom that God had given to him. And today's lesson is David's journey back to Jerusalem, encountering different groups or persons along the way, and we see how he extends grace to them as he returns to Jerusalem. I want to read most of this chapter to you, and because it's long, I ask that you remain seated as I read this to you at this time. So follow along, beginning in verse 8, the second part of verse 8, all the way through the end of the chapter. Now Israel had fled every man to his own home, and all the people were arguing throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king delivered us from the hand of our enemies and saved us from the hand of the Philistines. Now he has fled out of the land from Absalom. But Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now, therefore, why do you say nothing about bringing the king back?" And the king David sent this message to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. "Say to the elders of Judah, why should you be the last to bring the king back to his house when the word of all Israel has come to the king? You are my brothers, you are my bone and my flesh. Why then should you be the last to bring back the king? And say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? God do so to me and more also, if you are not the commander of my army from now on in place of Joab." And he swayed the heart of all the men of Judah as one man. So they sent word to the king, "Return, both you and all your servants." So the king came back to the Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to meet the king and to bring the king over the Jordan. And Shimei, the son of Gerar, the Benjaminite from Bahurim, hurried to come down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And with him were 1,000 men from Benjamin. And Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, with his 15 sons and 20 servants, rushed down to the Jordan before the king. And they crossed the ford to bring over the king's household and to do his pleasure. And Shimei, the son of Gerar, fell down before the king as he was about to cross the Jordan, and said to the king, "Let not my lord hold me guilty, or remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem. Do not let the king take it to heart, for your servant knows that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I have come this day, the first of all the house of Joseph, to come down to meet my lord the king." Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" But David said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be as an adversary to me? Shall anyone be put to death in Israel this day? For do I not know that I am this day king over Israel?" And the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." And the king gave him his oath. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. He had neither taken care of his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came back in safety. And when he came to Jerusalem to meet the king said to him, "Why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth?" He answered, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for your servant said to him, I will saddle a donkey for myself, that I may ride on it and go with the king. for your servant is lame. He has slandered your servant to my lord the king. But my lord the king is like the angel of God. Do therefore what seems good to you. For all my father's house were but men doomed to death before my lord the king. But you set your servant among those who eat at your table. What further right have I then to cry to the king? And the king said to him, why speak any more of your affairs? I have decided, you and Ziba shall divide the land. And Mephibosheth said to the king, oh, let him take it all, since my lord the king has come safely home. Now Barzillai the Gileadite had come down from Rogalim, and he went on with the king to the Jordan to escort him over the Jordan. Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old. He had provided the king with food while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very wealthy man. And the king said to Barzillai, come over with me, and I will provide for you with me in Jerusalem. But Barzillai said to the king, how many years have I still to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. Can I discern what is pleasant and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats or what he drinks? Can I still listen to the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way over the Jordan with the king. Why should the king repay me with such a reward? Please let your servant return, that I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and my mother. But here is your servant Chimham. Let him go over with my lord the king, and do for him whatever seems good to you. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do for him whatever seems good to you, and all that you desire of me I will do for you. And all the people went over the Jordan, and the king went over. And the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his own home. The king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him. All the people of Judah, and also half the people of Israel, brought the king on his way. And all the men of Israel came to the king and said to the king, why have our brothers, the men of Judah, stolen you away and brought the king and his household over the Jordan, and all David's men with him? All the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is our close relative. Why then are you angry over this matter? Have we eaten at all at the king's expense? Or has he given us any gift? And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah, we have 10 shares in the king, and in David also we have more than you. Why then did you despise us? Were we not the first to speak of bringing back our king? But the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to look at it and to study it. Help us now as we open your word and study it, that you will guide us into a right understanding and especially a right application of it to our own lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor Matt Chandler tells about the time that he and some friends invited a girl named Kim to go to a gospel concert with them. And Matt was hoping that at this concert, Kim would hear the gospel and come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But whatever what he said happened was, in his words, a train wreck. And he writes this. He said, the preacher took the stage and disaster ensued. He gave a lot of statistics about STDs. There was a lot of, you don't want syphilis, do you? And his big illustration was to take out a big red rose. He smelled the rose dramatically. He caressed its petals and talked about how beautiful that rose was and was freshly cut just that same day. And then he threw the rose out into the crowd and told the people to pass the rose around so that they could look at it. And as he neared the end of his message, he asked for the rose back. Well, but by now, the rose was broken and the petals were falling off and it was drooping. He now held up this now ugly rose for all to see. And his big finish line was, now who in the world would want this? His word and his tone were merciless. His essential message, which was supposed to represent Jesus' message to a world of sinners, was this. Hey, don't be a dirty rose. Now, Matt didn't hear from Kim for several weeks until one day her mother called him to say that she had been in an accident. And so Matt immediately went over to go and visit her. And he writes that right in the middle of their conversation, seemingly out of nowhere, Kim asked him, "Do you think I'm a dirty rose?" Chandler writes that his heart sank within him, but he began to explain to her the gospel of Jesus Christ and that Jesus wants that rose. You see, it's Jesus' desire to save, redeem, and restore the dirty rose. Now, King David had fled from Jerusalem. He had gone to Mahanaim up in the north on the east side of the Jordan River. His son Absalom had pursued him. They'd had this battle. David won. Absalom's army was defeated. Absalom himself was killed. And David had just experienced massive rebellion and revolt and anger and betrayal from his own son. But now as he was coming back, the people back in Israel rightly would wonder, how was David going to respond to them? What would his attitude be toward them who had rebelled against him, who had fought against him, who had betrayed him? What would his attitude be toward them? He would rightly dispense harshness and favor for all of the horrible things that they had done to the king. They certainly deserved it. But instead of harshness and disfavor, David extended grace to all those whom he met along the way to Jerusalem. And 2 Samuel chapter 19, verses 8 through 43, shows us the grace of the returning king. And I want you to pay attention as we work through this passage. The first thing I want you to see is that grace is given to the unable. Grace is given to the unable. Verse 8 says, the second part of it, now Israel had fled every man to his own home. Now you recall that Israel are the 10 northern tribes and Judah are the 2 southern tribes. David was of the tribe of Judah, but it was essentially Israel that had rebelled against David. And they had fled to their own homes, but as they fled, they began to think among themselves and they said, you know, we actually anointed Absalom, but Absalom's dead. But as we think back, we realize that it was David who actually set up the kingdom under God's sovereignty. It was David who defeated the Philistines. It was David who defeated all their enemies. David actually never, ever lost a battle in his entire life. What do we do now? I mean, he's victorious, and how is he going to treat us as he comes back? And they were wondering what to do. And commentator Richard Phillips summarizes their predicament, and he says the problem was how to approach David and secure his favor once again. And then he gives this comment. He says the Israelites' situation with respect to David was similar to the sinner's quandary with God. Having offended our Lord in rebellion and sin, we question what we can do to regain his lost favor. The indecision of the Israelites mirrors our own futility. in reconciling ourselves to the throne of God. But the good news for the people of Israel is that David took the initiative. It's true that David sent a message to the tribe of Judah, his own people, but he organized for them to come back, and later the Israelites in the north and the Judahites in the south, they kind of bickered, as we read about in verses 41 through 43. But the point is that David took the initiative to reconcile these rebellious army people, these rebellious people, to himself. They deserved his disfavor, but he gave them grace. Second thing I want us to see is that grace is given to the angry. When David arrived at the Jordan River on his return to Jerusalem, he met a bunch of people. One of those was a man named Shimei. Now, when David fled from Jerusalem, he headed up north and eventually crossed over to the east side of the Jordan River. He passed a town named Bahurim. And when he was passing through Bahurim, a man by the name of Shimei came out and hurled insults and stones at God's anointed King David. At that time, Abishai wanted to cut off his head, and David said, no, we'll just go on. So David's coming back now, but who should meet him there at the river but Shimei? And we read in verse 16, and Shimei, the son of Gerar, the Benjamite from Bahurim, hurried to come down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And as soon as he saw David, verses 18 through 20 say, and Shimei, the son of Gerar, fell down before the king as he was about to cross the Jordan and said to the king, let not my lord hold me guilty or remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem. Do not let the king take it to heart, for your servant knows that I have sinned. Now, there are some commentators who say that Shimei's repentance here was not true repentance. He thought, as David was fleeing from Jerusalem, that David was going to lose, and so he hurled all these insults at him. David got to the other side. Absalom came up. They had the battle. Absalom lost. David won. And Shimei realizes now he's on the wrong side. And so he said, whoops, I made a mistake. Let me go and fix this, and I'm going to run to King David and beg his repentance. He thought it was fake. Abishai, one of David's generals, again thought this was fake, and he wanted to lop off his head. And David said no. Instead, David said to Shimei, you shall not die. And the king gave him his oath. Yes, it was true that Shimei once was very angry at David against God's anointed king on earth. But what David now saw was a man who confessed his sin of anger to him, and David forgave him. So David extended grace to one who had previously been angry with him. Third, grace is given to the betrayer. Now, when Shimei came to the banks of the Jordan, he didn't come alone. In addition to the 1,000 Benjaminites who were with him, we read in verses 17 and 18, Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, with his 15 sons and 20 servants, rushed down to the Jordan before the king, and they crossed the ford to bring over the king's household and to do his pleasure. Now, that's all that's said about Ziba here in this chapter. But you recall the story that when David was fleeing from Jerusalem and he was hastening out of the city, along the way he met Ziba with a couple of donkeys bringing food and wine. Now, Ziba was actually the servant to Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth, now the story goes back even further, because Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. And Mephibosheth was crippled. He was lame in his feet. And David restored Mephibosheth to eat at his table and said that Ziba, who was a servant of Saul, would farm the land, the produce of the land, and share it with Mephibosheth while also helping himself, or not helping himself, but getting some of the produce from the land for himself. So when David fled Ziba came and brought the food and wine to him, and he said, "Where's Mephibosheth?" And Ziba said to him that Mephibosheth was staying back in Jerusalem because he was going to take over the kingdom once Absalom came in, which was ludicrous because Mephibosheth was a cripple and his brother wasn't going to let, I mean, not his brother, but Absalom wasn't going to let his cousin take over. And so David sees him here and wonderfully says, and by the way, earlier on when his discussion with Ziba about when Ziba had brought these goods to him, he didn't ask or check with Mephibosheth whether the story was true or not. So here he comes and he sees Ziba apparently wanting to come back, and he says, he says this to Mephibosheth, but he says, "I have decided you and Ziba shall divide the land," which in Hebrew technically is, "I'm going to actually reverse my decision in giving it all to Ziba. It's going back to my original proclamation. Ziba is going to work the land and provide for you, Mephibosheth." Now, David could have punished Ziba for his betrayal. He deceived Mephibosheth. He lied to him when he came to David the first time. He probably also thought that David was going to lose, but he didn't. But David saw that he was willing to help him again, and so he extended grace to one who had betrayed his master. And then fourth, grace is given to the disabled. Look at verse 24. "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul," and the Bible often says the son of so-and-so, but actually Saul was his grandfather. It was Saul, Jonathan, Mephibosheth. "The son of Saul came down to meet the king. He had neither taken care of his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came back in safety. And David says to him, 'Why didn't you come with me when you left Jerusalem?' And Mephibosheth tells him what happened, that he was deceived. Ziba said he was packing these donkeys, but because he was lame, he couldn't get onto the donkey himself and go with Ziba to try to help the king. And clearly Mephibosheth is expressing his loyalty to David, because when David left the city, he didn't take care of his feet, nor trim his beard, or wash his clothes. He was in mourning. He was desperately sad because the king had left him. And then I think his loyalty really is truly shown, because when David says, you can divide the land, he says, "Just give it all to him. I don't really care about it," as he says in verse 30. "Oh, let him take it all, since my lord the king has come safely home." You see, Mephibosheth was so glad that David was okay, that he was returning back to Jerusalem. That was all that he wanted, to see his lord the king again. And so grace is extended to one who is disabled. And then finally, grace is given to the generous. Verses 31 and 32. "Now Barzillai the Gileadite had come down from Rogalim, and he went on with the king to the Jordan to escort him over the Jordan." Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old. He provided the king with food while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very wealthy man. And you remember the story that as David was fleeing, Barzillai came with all kinds of supplies to provide for David and those who were loyal to him. And so David sees this man. He's so glad to see him. "Come back with me to Jerusalem, and I'll treat you to all of the delights of Jerusalem." And he says, no, "I'm an old man. I just want to go home and spend my last days in my home and be buried with my fathers. But here's my servant Chimham." Well, it might have been a servant, might have been a son or a grandson. But anyway, Chimham was connected to Barzillai, and David says, "Okay, I will bless Chimham for your sake." One very interesting footnote as I was studying, I found some commentators who said that 400 years later, in the prophet Jeremiah, we read of the account that after the death of Gedaliah, the people of Israel fled to a place called Geruth Chimham near Bethlehem. And so it's quite clear that what David had done was he took Chimham back to Jerusalem and took his own family property in Bethlehem and gave it to Chimham, and it was renamed Chimham, and it was still known by that name 400 years later. Barzillai had been generous to David and his followers in a time of great need, so David was generous to Barzillai, and he extended grace to one who was generous to him. David Slagel of Decatur, Georgia, tells a story about being from the South. And he says, if you're from the South, you love ribs. And he loved ribs, and he had some friends who loved ribs. And there was a place in town that was 50 minutes away, and he and some friends went one evening on an all-you-can-eat ribs night to this place. And they got in, and the food was absolutely great, and the rib bones were piling up as fast as the line was to get in. But as you know, eating ribs is a messy business. I don't like ribs because they're too messy. I eat it with a knife and fork, and I use my fork and eat it. But that's not the way you're supposed to eat ribs, right? But it's a messy business. You get sauce on your fingers and on your face and your clothes and you wipe, and dirty napkins pile up next to rib bones and half-eaten bowls of baked beans and coleslaw and so on. Well, they finally finished eating. They were stuffed to their gills. They paid the tab and they left. Well, they got to the car. He reached into his pocket and there were no keys. Well, I probably left it in the car. And he looked in the ignition, no keys. That's when he realized that they were on the table. They'd been swept off into the trash can. And his friend said, we're not walking back. You got to go get those keys. So he went back in, found all the trash cans where they'd been dumping the food. And he rolled up his sleeves and he dived into the trash cans, all the bones and the coleslaw and the baked beans and so on. And he said he got slimy barbecue all over him, you know, the napkins that people with saliva and all of that. And it took a long while, but he finally grabbed hold of those precious car keys. And then he concludes by saying this. He says, I think about our dumpster diving God. I mean no disrespect by calling him that. On the contrary, I have a soaring admiration for the infinite God who left a pristine, sinless heaven to search through the filth and rubbish of this world for something precious to him, me. You see, David was returning back to Jerusalem. And along the way, he realized that all of those people along the way were precious to him. Many of them deserved harsh disfavor from David, but he extended grace to them. And they received not harshness and disfavor, but they received his grace. And we say this so often, but it is true that David actually points us to his greatest son, Jesus. And just as David returned to Jerusalem, Jesus one day is returning back to earth again. He's got precious people all over the earth, and he is extending grace to all of them. So let us respond to the grace of our returning King Jesus at this time. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to reflect on who Jesus is and what he has done to save sinners such as ourselves. I thank you, as David Slagel says, that he is a dumpster diving God who came to rescue and extend love and mercy and grace to sinners such as ourselves. May we never grow old and tired of hearing of the grace and love and mercy of Jesus. And we pray all of these things in his precious name. Amen.